You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yo, shouts to all the people that went to the Bad Bunny concert. In particular, shouts to all the white girls who showed up. Now, at one point, now let me explain why. Baby girl, if you listen to me, I don't mean you. Here's why I say that. I was sitting amongst a group of Mexicanos, right? Mm-hmm. And it was us. It was my wife's Dominican friends, her, me, and there was another group of like Puerto Rican and Dominicans next to us. In front of us, it was about three or four people who honestly thought Taylor Swift was going to be there. You know what I mean? Right. And they started chanting, Benito, Benito, Bad Bunny's name, mm-hmm. right? Benito.
Sure.
The people behind us thought it'd be really funny to chant, Mexico, Mexico. And then they realized, it's not Mexico. All right, joke's over. So they stopped. And the white girls in front of us sort of caught themselves. You know, when you chant one more time than everyone else, their chant was, I'm not making this up, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Because there was a time when Bad Bunny sort of disappeared from the stage and they were chanting for him to come back.
Wow.
And they did the where'd he go? So everyone got it wrong. But shouts for coming to the show anyway. We need y'all out there.
Okay. Bad Bunny getting, we should start every show talking about Bad Bunny. I'm happy to do that.
I have a Bad Bunny anecdote.
Please do.
Please.
So he went to Oakland, had a concert there.
Uh-huh.
And there is a very good Puerto Rican restaurant in our neighborhood called Soul Food.
Mm.
And it's fantastic if you're in the Bay Area.
He went.
Didn't tell him they were going. And brought like 85 of his members. And they were so overwhelmed, not only because Bad Bunny was there, but because 85 people just showed up at this little tiny restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's legendary
in our area now. I
remember
the video of that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the little old lady who runs the place was like, ¿Qué está pasando?
It was unreal.
That's amazing. Okay, cool. Real quick, what's your favorite Bad Bunny song, Jimmy Conrad?
I don't know if I have a favorite.
Okay, because you love the whole catalog.
I'm going to give you one of these. Okay.
No.
How can I choose a favorite like children?
I respect him as an entertainer.
Yeah.
So there's no one song.
What I love most about him is if you look at this array of photos we have in front of us, there's not one where you think it's the same person as the person to the right.
I mean, this is my favorite Bad Bunny
photo. That is his most iconic.
I think this one here.
Yeah.
This,
and probably a pose.
There's a lot working there.
There's a pose. I did the two pinkies up. I did this pose a couple of times thinking, I like it. And then I realized, I'm not Bad Bunny. I can't really pull that
off. He tries things.
He does.
Exactly.
And I appreciate that.
He is, one of the biggest. Is he the biggest entertainer in the world right now? I guess that's safe to say.
Probably one of them.
It's either him, Peso Pluma, or like Drake.
Yeah, Drake ain't coming after Bad Bunny. I know that. You don't want that smoke. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
You've already heard his Bad Bunny opinions coming through. He only has USMNT opinions and Bad Bunny opinions. That's all he comes through with. But we are joined by a man who hasn't been on the show in way too long, but he is one of the folks that helped build what Cooligans is today.
He is part of the pillars.
Exactly. One of the most
Cooligans.
The most ardent supporters, advisors.
Alexi Lawless is here?
No, we didn't say political advisor.
No.
We said podcast advisor. Kidding.
We didn't say he was storming the Capitol.
We should have him on January 6th, actually. Do we have an episode that day?
I'll make sure to schedule it for next year.
Unless he's busy celebrating his holiday.
Anyway, we are joined by Jimmy Conrad.
What's up, everybody? Great to be here, as always.
Is it?
In the flesh.
Yes. Yeah, because we used to call...
I see you a lot, and it's usually on the big wall at CBS.
Yes, exactly.
We haven't had him in stew in forever.
Exactly. I haven't seen you in quite a while.
A while.
I don't remember where. Maybe MLS All-Star or something like that.
You're a dad now. You're all grown up.
Right?
It's really nice to see.
It is incredible.
What about me?
No.
Yeah.
None of those things.
No.
Not a dad and not a
never do.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Pull up king.
Even if you became a dad, you will not grow up. Anyway.
No. That's right. Baby girl got to change 2 diapers.
But we have a lot to go over today with Jimmy. Obviously, we're going to talk some USMNT stuff and his podcast alongside Charlie Davies and Jesse Marsh and Call It
What. You and Charlie Davies. Yeah. Okay.
Uh huh.
Jesse Marsh.
What's he doing hanging out with these guys?
That's off the top, bro. How did that happen?
One of these things is not like
that. Yeah, no. Did he know you two were also going to be on this show?
I don't know. We ultimately just tee him up.
Exactly.
And he's been fantastic. I actually thought he was going to be a little bit more muted. But he is swinging.
Oh, he absolutely is.
Maybe has the flamethrower out just a little bit.
Yes.
I got plenty of time for it.
Oh, he gets brought up in press conferences.
Exactly. Yeah, Greg Berhalter.
I didn't say it.
I was there.
Okay. So we'll talk about that. We got some Premier League stuff to go over, obviously. And Jimmy was just at Arrowhead Stadium for the Inter Miami Sporting City game, which was incredible. So we'll talk about that. But let's start in the Premier League, because Alexis's team, finally, they have finally bottled it, as they say.
Where's the sound effect for that?
This time of year, it always happens. Arsenal lose to Aston Villa at the Emirates, 2-0. Goals by Leon Bailey and Ollie Watkins, and just a second half masterclass from Unai Emery. Alexis, how we feeling, bro?
Here's what I'll say. First of all, thank you. Very nice of you to put me on blast this way. Here's what I'll say. The Leon Bailey goal in the 84th minute is the first time in 2024 that Arsenal were behind.
Mm.
So, in the league.
But you still lost. So.
Yeah.
Great stat. Still lost.
So, I think it shows you a sustained greatness.
No, they've been very good. On both sides of the ball.
On both sides, especially defensively, which is what this is all frustrating. But once the Bailey goal goes in, which is, again, you got Zinchenko out there. Someone's going to be left behind, and that's exactly what happened. Defensively, he's not the best. Once that goal goes in, you push everybody forward, and that's why you get, Ollie Watkins scoring. With who defending him? Do you know who it was trying to defend him?
Was that Zinchenko?
No, do you know who it was?
Who was?
Emile Smith Rowe. Why is that your last guy back, man?
Because you're pushing for the equalizer.
They were trying to score.
But what I find interesting is Zinchenko. Do you think he's still on the payroll for Manchester City?
Because he's been.
This is two seasons in a row now, right?
At least it would be a reason. You know what I mean? At least we have an answer.
I'm surprised he started.
I'm not, because I'm surprised Tomiyasu didn't.
I guess you have Bayern Munich on the week.
I get that. Obviously, a lot of the changes that were made were in prep for keeping Martinelli, safe. And also, remember in the second half of the first match against Bayern Munich, when Gabriel Jesus comes in, he starts putting the back line on pressure. He starts doing a lot of things. I think this was Mikel Arteta sort of saying, all right, you've earned the right to start again, and let's see what you did out there. And he showed none of that, not one bit of it. And it was so frustrating, because he really wasn't putting the back line under pressure, especially when you don't have a Douglas Luiz, who's their best defensive midfielder. He's not there. You've got McGinn and Tielemans, two players that want to push forward. McGinn has been absolutely incredible going forward this year. And you have all this space, you assume, and you're just not getting anything. Yeah. Anything out of Gabriel Jesus. And why would you pull Havertz back over there?
Yeah, if the shot that Trossard takes with that save from Emi Martinez.
The one that looked like the World Cup final?
Right. It's a completely different game.
By the way, former Arsenal goalkeeper.
Exactly.
Emi Martinez. And Ollie Watkins, Arsenal fan.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I did hear that as well.
And Leon Bailey, Jamaican. I don't know what that has to do with Arsenal. But I'm just saying, at this point, I'm just spitting facts.
We will find the connection, Leon.
I don't know if
he wants to play for Jamaica anymore.
No, that's
true.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't care about curfews or anything or team rules.
Oh, wait. He gets the flight details at 11 o'clock the night before.
Yeah.
Also, he's at the club when he gets that 11 o'clock email.
But in fairness, the Federation for Jamaica, not the best.
Yeah.
He he pointed out that he's like he hasn't seen a dollar from the Jamaican Federation, so they're just not paying their players. Yeah. So I can see why you know the Jamaican women's national team also voiced a lot of these complaints as well. So clearly it's a systemic issue.
The head of the federation said he didn't hear that because the money machine was spinning, so he didn't hear the criticism.
So is it over? Is the title race over? Do you think Manchester City wins out and Arsenal and Liverpool? Liverpool also lost, but
why don't we do this? Look, both. We have to still play Tottenham, which I think is our toughest. Go to Manchester City mm-hmm. and click on their remaining matches, and you tell me where they could possibly drop points. Now, I will cry on the inside as you go through this list.
Okay, obviously this.
Well, I think what's interesting, too,
Champions League FA,
this has to be taken into consideration. If they get knocked out by Real Madrid in the Champions League and can put all their energy towards the Premier League, it's going to be really hard, I think, for
anybody.
Arsenal and Liverpool.
Or too. Liverpool, sure. Right.
Now, but also, now that they're in the driver's seat.
Even if they don't. It might not be. They won the treble last year. And remember, their backups are basically starters on 80% of the other teams in the Premier League. So I don't think that even comes into consideration. I honestly think maybe Brighton gives them a little bit of a hassle.
They play against Tottenham, too.
Huh?
They play against Tottenham,
Tottenham is, I think, they all agree
struggle.
Is the toughest.
They struggle with Tottenham.
They only scored once in their stadium.
Yeah.
Ever in the new stadium.
Right, right.
It's the last match of the season, so everywhere I'm not sure else. I want to wait for that. Fulham, I'm probably not going to give him much of a game. Wolves, I mean, come on. Nottingham Forest, I believe in Giorgini as much as the next guy. Yeah. But come on.
Maybe Brighton in the first half of the season.
Brighton, yeah.
This version of Brighton's
dropped
off. There's been a drop off.
No Matoma. Right, right.
Significant.
Yeah, I don't see.
No Machanza. Am I right, everyone?
Oh, God.
Okay. Alex, you're going to lose access to the buttons, bro.
I'm honestly shocked it's in front of me.
But no, it doesn't feel like... Look, and I saw some of the videos from Arsenal Fan TV, and, you know, they were basically... Or AFTV, whatever. And they were basically saying, like, that's it, it's over. Manchester City win again.
You know I love AFTV. I'm a big AFTV fan. Shouts to Robbie, shouts to Cecil, shouts to everybody there. Oh, you got one guy calling Mikel Arteta... Our Brendan Rodgers. Can we just relax for one second?
Like,
emotions. This is how toxic this sport is. You can only share emotions when it's about football. And you wait and it builds up.
I think Man City is going to drop points in one of those games.
Where? Where
could
be
Tottenham?
Think?
Could get a draw.
You think of the last match of the season with the league on the line?
Second last. They play West Ham last match of the season.
Is there one more?
Yeah. May 19th, West Ham.
Ah. Okay, second half. I mean, the penultimate match.
Why don't I see it on the...
You got to go up and click on the next button.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, okay, okay.
See it right there on the right?
Gotcha. All
right. But now it's just going to say just West
Ham. Yeah, so I think they're going to drop points because this Man City team, for whatever reason, doesn't seem as focused as they had been in the past.
Okay, but remember last year...
You win the treble, and there's going to be an emotional drop-off, a lack of focus and something. And you've seen it already.
What were they, in eighth last season until the Chargers dropped? And then they beat the case, basically, by beating everybody. They went on that crazy run.
Yeah.
I feel like when their backs are against the wall, that's when they shine. Manchester City, to me, are just like, letting them be in first place was an absolute capitulation by both Arsenal and Liverpool. And don't take away how bad Liverpool's match also was. I mean, at least Arsenal lost to...
It was a bad week for Liverpool.
We lost to the fourth place team. Liverpool lost to who? Crystal Palace?
The Crystal Palace.
That secured them not getting relegated, those 3 points.
And Liverpool haven't lost at Anfield in something...
Since the Jesse Marsh
since Leeds. The previous.
Yeah.
Well, in the league, because they just lost to...
Then they drew Manchester United, then lost to Atalanta at home, didn't score. Then lost to Crystal Palace at home, didn't score.
So
pretty bad time to throw up a lemon of a week.
Should I ask the question? Because no one's asking it. Is Jurgen Klopp
be sacked?
A flop? Is Klopp a flop?
Oh my God! Is Klopp their Brendan Rodgers? AFTV.
Okay.
His teeth look normal.
Okay, Jimmy, answer my question to make it a valid question that seems like I'm a smart person.
Also for the clip.
I thought the game against Crystal Palace was. It was one of these things where Crystal Palace defended. I made the joke about like it looked like they had 11 goalkeepers out there because there were so many goal line clearances, unbelievable stops where Luis Diaz had Just everything looked like a tap in, and then all of a sudden, the Crystal Palace player showed
up. Just a body sliding past us.
And who's that? Dean Henderson is the goalkeeper. He was just like, bro, thank you. He just, great, you know what? Goalkeepers, they dap you up. You're a center back, so you know the appreciation. But he had to do that quite a bit, okay? He had more daps. Than actual stops with his gloves.
XD expected daps.
I would say that if you're planning out a 38-game season, you're going to run into one or two of these where a goalkeeper's just standing on their head making a ton of saves, or you just can't finish or whatever it is. You just hope they kind of get out early in the season so that when it really matters towards the end, you're making those – having that clutch moment. And we've seen these teams have that. Now, Arsenal – seems like they're getting closer to being the team that we all can see they can be when they play to their potential. But at some point, they were going to have to suffer a little bit. And to what Mikel Arteta said afterwards, how are we going to deal with the suffering?
I'm paraphrasing.
Like, how are we going to react to this? They're still in the race. Liverpool are still in the race.
Yes.
I could feel all this gloom and doom, and I'm getting all these texts from my Liverpool friends that are like, oh, it's over, season's over. I'm like, shut up. It's over for, like, Newcastle, the team I said. It's been over for, like, weeks, you know, or months for those guys. So you're still in it.
Like, yeah.
Man City drops one game, and now you win that one game. Yeah, you got to be perfect probably throughout because there's three teams. But that was always going to be the case whether you drop the points.
I don't think Arsenal are out of it. I mean,
can we see the matches for Arsenal? I'm kind of curious. Yeah. I don't know.
We actually don't have the easiest run.
Yeah.
You guys definitely have the most difficult run of City, Liverpool,
Wolves
and
away,
Arsenal.
Chelsea at home.
We're at home.
Tottenham
North
away.
London Derby will be the big one. That's going to be the one.
Oh, yeah, this is a really tough run.
And then Everton is our last match.
Everton's going to spoil the show, maybe.
Hopefully you don't need it by that point. You haven't been deducted another 48 points or whatever happens to Everton here.
This is the thing, too. If they go to Germany and lose, then I feel like any team – I mean, Liverpool could end up
– save the season by losing Champions League? You're doing the shoot the hostage?
I mean, if it's for the betterment of the community, you know – you might have to take it into consideration.
Look, the way I feel about it personally, and I love the fact that sometimes Europeans will watch our clips, and they're like, yo, these times are mad. These are American times. They're like, 9 a.m.? I got to wake up at what time to go to the stadium? It's East Coast times. I think the season is lined up perfectly for the North London Derby to be the reason we either win the league or not. Mm-hmm. However those chips may fall, the North London Derby for us will be one of the most meaningful North London Derbies in a very long time. Since last season, we could have won the league as well.
Right. Can you show Liverpool's matches really quick?
Sure, sure.
Because Arsenal's is the most difficult that I've seen.
Yeah, by far.
So
Liverpool's is pretty easy as well.
Atalanta, Fulham, Everton, West Ham. Three away games in a row.
Four.
Oh, with Atalanta. League games. Then Tottenham at home. Wow, Aston Villa away.
It's tough.
Final three is no joke.
Villa away might be for them staying in the top four.
Tottenham the same
for sneaking in. This could be tough.
West Ham away is not easy either.
Also, the emotional toll of Klopp leaving seems to be getting harder and harder for this team.
Right. Yeah. I just find it odd. Odd is not the word, but just like the standard, what seemingly is for the Premier League nowadays is you have to win every game. Like, I mean, just for to have title contenders.
Well, yeah, you've got the Monstars in Manchester City.
But it's just a while that even three teams could be in that conversation of, like, we have to win every single game, not even drop a point. That the standard is so unbelievably high that perfection is what is required.
Yeah.
It's like remarkable. This is why the Arsenal fans and Liverpool fans can be like, oh, that's it. It's over. Season's over. Because they're like, we're not perfect, and Manchester City is, and they're going for their fourth straight title. I remember when I was in Nashville for the Fan Fest, Alan Shearer was saying that he thinks it's going to be Manchester City. The whole crowd, boo, everybody's like upset, but he's like, he doesn't think that they're going to drop points, and the pursuit of four straight Premier League titles in a row, which no club has ever done, is what is going to propel them to win it. So I don't want to see it because it's just like, the way Bayer Leverkusen,
the Bundesliga now.
We're gonna be probably gonna be the Bundesliga now.
In the experience of managing these situations, I think City, despite not playing well, are still good enough to know how to. Let's just stay in the conversation.
Yeah,
because we know how to manage it. these guys are going to trip up, and now we'll see how they react.
Because they can say
this is such a big moment for Arsenal.
They can say we've done this before.
Right.
We did it last year, guys. Right. Relax. Everything's
right.
fine.
Right. Yeah.
Where Arsenal's like, this never going to happen.
And Erling Haaland's
still hasn't. Rogers.
Erling Haaland still hasn't really been Erling Haaland this season.
It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, maybe pre-injury he was, but post, it's just he's been a little bit off.
Totally.
His confidence is low. It's weird to see Erling Haaland without confidence. And it's nice to see that he's not a robot.
Well, I mean, at least he did he did plan to rocket a ball off of a dude's face
into
the goal.
That's true.
That was pretty impressive.
Genius. Well, the English.
It's like he called he called backboard on that one.
He backs open.
I was going to say
Eddie Howe in or out.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough. I think at some point you have to bring in a manager that could probably also attract bigger personalities and bigger players. I don't think Eddie Howe has that cachet. Whereas,
speaking of cachet, you guys got a lot of money.
yeah, well,
I mean, don't you think that's enough to?
I do. From the players that I do know that play professionally over there, Newcastle is just really far from London. You know, yes. It's one thing if you're, you know, where in Birmingham or wherever, and it's maybe an hour away from London, you could still get down there, but there and back, you can't really be doing that type of stuff. So I think that does detract from maybe getting the biggest stars. But money does talk. And I don't know, maybe Sandro Tonali's betting on who's going to come.
Yeah, he's calling Ivan Toney like, what do you think?
What do you think? with the money they can produce and have, you're going to be competitive. And that's been nice as a fan, is to be competitive, even though I kind of want to take a shower when I think about where the money's coming from.
Right.
But from the sporting side, it's just nice to be kind of in the conversation of competitiveness.
Well, it was a great conversation, especially of competitiveness over the weekend, because Newcastle absolutely, I would say, embarrassed Tottenham 4-0 at St. James. This was, Alexis mentioned earlier about Alexander Isak, and who is, I was already a fan of when he was at Real Sociedad.
He was great.
He was great. And then sometimes you wonder, like, how did he end up at Newcastle, given like he had a pretty good record at Sociedad? And there was a little, he had a lot of injuries, so it was a little bit of a risk. But now it just feels like every Arsenal fan is just like, hey, when's he making the move, buddy? Like, we
waiting for you.
We see what you can do. All right, you don't have to show the world. We have faith in you. But Alexander Isak is one of my favorite players to watch. Having him at Newcastle and you know, you being a fan of the club, what do you think of this guy?
I love his consistency. I think he at Sociedad showed that he could at times make things out of nothing. You know, because when I think about La Real, they don't always commit a lot of numbers when they go forward. There's a real big emphasis on having balance, but they were never going forward with reckless abandon. And now you have a team around him in Newcastle where they do try to commit more numbers going forward. He's got a little bit more support, but he's also a guy that can create a goal by himself. And if he gets isolated in 1v1 situations, like he's doing here, making Mickey Van de Ven.
He's going to break your ankles and your neck. I didn't do that last part.
That is unbelievable.
We're looking at the photo of Alexander Isak. Usually when you get somebody like touching grass, you know what I mean? It's usually with their butt or their hands. And this man is doing, just he's a b-boy for time.
He's I don't want to say he's been a revelation. I just think he is actually living up to what people knew he was capable of,
and the value they placed on him.
That too. It's not easy to live up to your potential. It just isn't, and I think we're seeing that. And in some ways he's surpassing it with his consistency. He just has to remain healthy. And now, can you build pieces around him that can continue to maximize what he brings? Sure.
And I think the one thing I'll speak about with his time at La Real, do you remember the player that was passing him a lot of those wonderful balls that he was doing, that he was scoring on?
Well,
Martin Odegaard,
that's right.
So
I was going with Oyarzabal, but
if
you want to go Odegaard, that's fine.
I don't know what word you just made up, dude.
It's a mouthful.
No, but Martin Odegaard, and they seem to have a great relationship. I'm just saying.
I'm sure the text thread is there of being like, yo,
Come through, bro. I saw what you did to Tottenham. You built. You built for this. You already beloved.
Also, Anthony Gordon is another. Obviously, you know, I'm an Everton fan, and when he left in not the greatest of terms, with fans screaming at him in the street, it was a big issue. But he's really sort of settled into this role and becoming, I don't know, not kind of like a leader on this team.
Well, I kind of want to throw it back to you. Did you see that in him when he played for the Toffees?
No, I did not. I thought he was, you know, kind of like the like, oh, yeah, you're fast. Go up there and do the fast guy things.
Yeah. You just literally gave us Sean Dyche's halftime speech.
But with Lampard, with every manager, was just like, you know, they saw the creativity and they were like, give him some opportunity. But pretty much anybody that plays for Everton Football Club, you wear that shirt, you better defend, buddy. You better learn how to defend. You better make sure that that is your priority. So I don't think he was given the room and space to kind of show what he is showing now at Newcastle. And not only that, I do think with the way he's from Liverpool, the fact that he left his hometown to go play for a new club, it was like, it's kind of like, you know, I thought him playing for Everton was like, playing, you're like going to college in your hometown. Mm. And now he's like, he got to transfer out and sort of like, let me be my own person. Sure. And that's what we're kind of seeing.
No, I love that. That's a good description, I think, of how he's playing. And confidence is a hell of a drug. That's what I like to say. When he's got it, and he's out, clearly got the trust from Eddie Howe and the rest of the players and the respect. Hey, give me the ball and I can make things happen. And he's shown that consistently. He's another player similar to Isak, where if he gets isolated in 1v1 situations, you're feeling pretty good that something's going to happen. In coaching speak, they say bringing attacks to completion. Mm. He's gotten a lot better, consistently good at, okay, you get in areas. Can you get a shot off, cross off? Does it turn into a corner, a throw in? Something positive in the attacking third. And I think that's why he got his first ever England call-up, which well-deserved.
Sure. Yeah, I've known there's plenty of guys out there watching the show that can't, in their relationships, can't bring those tasks to completion. So they got a lot to work on.
I think they have medicine for that.
Yeah. Also, there's certain areas of the pitch you have to focus on.
You can't. It's not always where you think it you're supposed to be. You gotta.
You can't just go right for the goal. You
gotta massage a lot of areas.
Yeah.
You gotta work both sides of the.
Just what I tell you, work ball. The wings. I don't even know what you're working.
Work the wings. Okay, I'm looking at your heat map, buddy, and you're all over.
You're too defensive.
Okay.
You're too disciplined.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Arrowhead Stadium. Let's move on because you were in.
It's getting too hot in here. That's
you were in.
I was there.
Kansas City.
You've been there before. You played at Arrowhead.
I did.
How different was this from when you played?
Well, so back in 2010, we welcomed Manchester United to Arrowhead Stadium, and we ended up winning 2-1. I may or may not have gotten a red card because I'm awesome, everybody. And
that was right? It was too awesome. Straight red.
Yeah, just too awesome.
So you were out of three next friendlies?
My glow is so nice. No, I was on Dimitar Berbatov, and I held him offside, but my other center back held him on, and then I tried to be a hero and get back in the play, and I took him down in the box. Yeah. Well, that's not a big deal. It's a friendly. Who doesn't do that in a friendly?
It was just a little friendly. It's a friendly.
I tried to get myself back in the center. It doesn't matter. I switched jerseys with him afterwards. He's a cool guy, but hell of a player. But so I had gotten a taste of what that would look like against a big club, and we saw Sir Alex Ferguson on the sideline.
Was it a sellout?
And Ryan Giggs were there. It was very similar. Almost a sellout, 75,000, 80,000.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere was good on that day. I think the attitude of wanting to see some high-level, beautiful game being played, I could feel that same type of energy for this
That's
game.
Why they took you off the pitch.
We'll actually take you off. We'll do it with 10 players. Yes. We did. We ended up winning 2-1. Kai Kamara scored on a set piece, and we won
2-1.
Wow. I swear to God.
You
look up 1930 World Cup at the U.S. finishes third. There's a photo of Kai Kamara scoring ahead.
With heart-shaped hands. I swear to God,
this man is every part of history.
He's everywhere.
Everybody has a Kai Kamara anecdote. You know what I mean? Like this. There's nobody he has not played with or against.
I think he's going for it. Try to play with every MLS team before his career's
up. He has to.
He's almost halfway, I think.
Yeah.
He's going to be the DP signing for San Diego. I swear to it.
But look, we got to see Lionel Messi at Arrowhead. I was watching the game. I caught I missed some of the beginning because I was at the NYCFC game against the Revs. But this look,
the Revs have a team. They haven't been very good this season.
No, they have not.
Look, you definitely were not against you got NYCFC. To see this goal.
I did.
I mean, Lionel Messi, absolute bang. It was a look. The pass, also the assist, was unbelievable too.
The assist was out of the. He looked up in a split second. He saw it all happen.
Yeah, but I what I really marvel, and I've this might be my flex of the show. I've had the chance to see Messi play in person 20 times, and I got to play against him in the Copa America. So. What I really value, keep coming with the sound effects.
You drop a heavy, it gets
yeah. Every time I see him play, I marvel at how efficient he is with his energy. He doesn't waste any. He does a lot of walking around, and you think, what did Messi actually do? Did he dig anything out of pressure? But he has a goal and an assist, and you're like, how did the guy do it? He just has a maximum impact with the least amount of work. Put out, and the guy's a genius. There's no question. He understands his spatial awareness, situational awareness. To your point about the assist, he sees the guy making a run. He's just like, I gotta wait for like that half second of people to move, and yeah. Then that space will open up. And then the type of information he gives with his passes, and Busquets, he falls into it too. They make a pass, and that pass is telling you what to do.
Yeah,
right.
Which
I love it. It's like, yeah, I'm putting it in front of you. You got to go run in front and go.
Sometimes I put it where you should have been.
Exactly.
I love that. Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Remember that goal against New York Red Bulls last year where he put it in Kramaski's space? Mm-hmm. Kramaski reacted to it like, oh, you want me to go there? Oh. And then still got there and crossed it and there's a tap in for Messi. I mean, he's just seeing the game on a different level and it just looks easy every time.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you want America to be great at soccer, what you need to do, and not that we're not on our way, I do think we are, but what I would suggest is if you have an academy of midfielders, right, just show them Busquets clips over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that first touch Busquets takes, I'm like, how did he know that if he put the ball there with his first touch, that he would have acres of space around him? It's just like, man, you don't even really have to try.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. I mean, we can talk about Inter Miami on a bigger level because, yeah, the star players are the star players and they play very, very well. And it's always very impressive. But they are playing with some young guys.
It's like putting caviar in a Big Mac.
Still good.
You know, I'm not saying it's bad.
Could be
it
good.
It might be good enough for the meal.
Could be mind blowing.
Right.
Okay.
Like, you might even get a little Leagues Cup toy in that happy meal. You know what I mean?
Open it up.
Yeah. Yeah. They might just hand you a trophy in the Leagues Cup.
Be careful. McDonald's might steal that recipe.
McDonald's like, yo, the McChampions Cup. McChampions Cup is crazy right now. Pull a tab and you get messy.
I mean, you might have to lose the Open Cup toy.
Well, you can't have an Open Cup.
One or the other.
Jimmy, stuff can get in it.
Jimmy, what a terrible idea. Nobody likes that idea. What are you talking about?
Now we know who came up with it.
Okay. I know it's existed for 100 years, but nobody likes it.
Nobody likes it.
Yeah. Sorry, burrito shop. No Messi for you.
But yeah, the fact that the team is the salary cap issue, a lot of this is coming up now because of Inter Miami getting kicked out of Champions Cup. And, you know, the Tata Martino was talking about, you know, I basically don't have a roster.
He said a lot.
He's like, I don't have a bench that I can bring in.
Could you hear him through all the excuses? Or what I was trying to like, wait, excuse?
At least he
reality.
Took a, at
no,
least he,
I get it.
You
I
know,
get it.
He opened the door, so to speak, to the conversation.
All I'll say to that, why I bring that up, is because they do spend a lot of money. Now, I know a lot of it's on one particular player.
Right.
But it is funny that they're probably right in the conversation with the Tigreses, and I don't know if that's where Tigreses and Monterreys.
It's a Tigre.
Yeah.
and Club America and Chivas. Like, I think Inter Miami's in that conversation in terms of how much money they spend.
Right.
But obviously, it's allocated to maybe four players.
It's top heavy.
It's top heavy, and that's why I think these new rules that MLS are implementing. In theory, I think should allow them to kind of fill those middle spots, let's say from 7 to 14 in your roster,
right,
to be maybe a little bit better than what they have at the moment. Right now, you see a lot of potential-based players that you can see that they have it, but can
they develop into that?
Sure,
can they
consistently bring it? Now, when I watch them play, and I love sitting up high in stadiums because I'm a dork and I like team shape. And one of the things that I think would really help Inter Miami is if they just had better ball playing center backs.
Oh, you mean if they didn't have to, if they could play out of the back?
Yes. Yeah. It would, well, it would make a big difference. Right now they got Busquets that drops in and the center backs go wide.
Which is ridiculous. You don't want Busquets to be that
far
either.
He's too, yeah, he's not as connected to where, and then Messi's got to drop 10 yards
and
when
he's frustrated.
And he
don't want to run either.
Right. So it's they found their way into the game, but yeah. It took them about 30 minutes to find their way in, and that ultimately led to Messi being higher, and then they started to establish their control over it. But yeah, there's still a few pieces away.
100%.
Yeah.
It's tough because what hurts them is one or two players get hurt and then they're really decimated because they've invested so much money into that kind of middle class of player.
Mm-hmm.
And then their bench gets really thin. And then you're really relying on younger players to help solve problems.
Yeah, I mean, if they broke the roster rules to get Blaise Matuidi, just do it now. Do it now.
You have way more reason and incentive now.
Bro, ain't no one going to say nothing, dude. Go ahead. We wanted you to win Champions Cup. So now they're going to have to get the host country allocated spot for FIFA Club World Cup. Because you know it's going to be them.
Yeah, that's true. Without a doubt.
It's got to be them, bro.
Johnny Infantino's going to make a rule.
No, they haven't. The host country gets to pick any team they want to be added to FIFA Club World Cup.
So
why are they even crying about losing out in the Champions Cup?
That's what I'm saying.
What's Tata Martino all upset about?
Bro.
You know it's coming.
I'm petitioning. Let's get the Colorado Rapids in.
Chris Thomas.
That's right.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the FIFA Club World Cup Impact de Montreal.
We're bringing them back. But I do want to ask about just the game at Arrowhead and having all those people there. Obviously, for an MLS match, I assume that's the most ever for an MLS game, I think.
It was close. We would have July 4th games
there,
but they were the quietest July 4th game. They were just there for the fireworks.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not for me. For
but
sure.
Look, we see you there celebrating. And you're a Kansas City hero, legend. A lot of people love and appreciate whenever you come back. But what did this, what was the sort of feeling like? Is this a USMNT game? Oh, no. I see an American flag. This is from the game. So, but what was this feeling like just being back and being back for a game of this magnitude?
Well, for me, it's always fun to go back. I played 8 years there. I was captain for 4 of those 8. I always love to do things in the community. I feel like I'm a man of the people. I could maybe even win mayor if I went back there.
I think I could.
Yeah. I could be a legit, maybe a runner-up. But I would have a good go at it. We'd have a lot of fun.
Do both sides of Kansas City have a different mayor?
No.
Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas?
That's
same
a great
mayor?
I don't even actually know that.
That's a good question.
Dude, you might be able to run for the other one. KCK
and KCO?
Yeah.
I'll have to think that through. Maybe I could be the one that brings everybody together.
Also, why does this lady hate you? She's not even looking in your direction. You see her bottom right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Wow.
She's probably just a new fan, sporting fan only.
Some people don't know.
You got to respect the Wizards. You know what I mean? But no, it's great. These people have been supporting us for a really long time and have been in the trenches with us. When we were at Arrowhead and it was a bit cavernous, they'd be coming out consistently and saw some very good teams over the years. We just didn't have the same type of support. And I think when they built Sporting Park, then you start to have your own confines and you create that culture and identity that you want. And then you bring it back to Arrowhead. I know there was some fans that were upset about not having it at Sporting Park and bringing Messi to the friendly confines there.
72,000 people.
72,000, but I think it's a chance to be exposed to a bigger audience who could be Euro snobs or just Inter Miami fans or just kind of curious about seeing the greatest of all time do it. And can you win them over? And I actually thought Kansas City played pretty well. Eric Tommy scored some great goals.
Eric Tommy looked good.
And yes, they didn't win the game, but I think there was enough there that I'd be like, maybe I will go to a game to Sporting Park. And that's where it starts. And that's where you get to be. This is the gateway drug to something
bigger. Yeah, what was the ratio? How many pink jerseys did you see?
There was a lot of pink jerseys.
Okay.
I don't know the ratio per se, but the two goals happened within 20 minutes of each other in the first half. And when Eric Tommy scored, everybody's like, sick goal, awesome, good volume. And then when Messi dropped that assist for the that was pretty loud, too. So I would say it was a little bit 50-50.
What did you think? Because I tweeted this about...
This was a bad take. I'm going to tell you.
Okay, that's fine if you think that. But Patrick Mahomes greeting Lionel Messi.
So does Messi know who Mahomes is? Because I'm not always sure that he knows all these people he's gets introduced.
I just think he's like, there's a really big dude, and he's in an important room.
But I had an issue with the glasses. Look, if I'm meeting Lionel Messi, I'm going to – it's not even about that he's a deity, even though some people believe he is God and whatever. But I got to take off my glasses. These glasses are –
Wait, wild. Well, show me your take. I didn't see it.
That's his take, is that he should have taken off the sunglasses.
Oh, the ridiculous shades.
I thought the shades are too goofy. They look a little bit like the, you know.
This is who he is, though. And also, Messi knows he's meeting an American sports personality. That's what an American sports personality
That's
should
fair.
Look like.
That's fair. He probably thought he was a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
With
but
those shades on.
Look, Patrick Mahomes is from the South, right? He's like Southern gentleman.
He sounds
type.
Like he's bounding down. So I assume
there should be a little bit of like, you know, showing respect. Taking off the glass, take off your hat. You know what I mean?
Nah, it's like saying you want Kobe to put on dress shoes when he meets somebody. You know what I mean? It's like, who cares, bro?
Mamba mentality. Yeah.
I'm not like upset. I just like, bro, come on.
Bro, Mahomes isn't meeting Messi. Messi's meeting Mahomes.
Okay.
Mahomes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Do you know, so I haven't seen the video, but do you know what supposedly Mahomes told Messi?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, make sure you have fun out there.
Go out there and make sure you have fun. Why are you telling that to Messi?
Maybe he wanted to play the dad role.
What are you saying to Messi? Like, he doesn't know that. Oh, that's a good point.
Like, you know what? That's something I have to work on.
I didn't do that when I won the World Cup. And that's my one regret, Mahomes.
I heard a story. You guys can confirm or deny this for me, where Floyd Mayweather went to see Inter Miami play last year. Mm. And Messi didn't stop to say hello to him because he doesn't know who Floyd Mayweather
is. Yeah.
And I guess, obviously, Floyd Mayweather's going to be pissed about it.
Yeah,
and Messi's
yeah.
like, eh. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how much information he's getting, especially if this is right before a game. It's like the last thing I'm thinking about.
Right.
Some American sports star, like, yeah. Super Bowl? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Cool.
This guy.
They still do those?
He gets introduced to, who knows, countless people.
Probably
at all levels.
Pepsi executives.
Yeah, right? It could be all kinds of people. Yeah. So maybe Mahomes thought he needed to wear sunglasses like that so that they would never, Messi would never forget him.
Yeah. I would love if Patrick Mahomes was the Pepsi executive wearing these glasses everywhere.
He's like, does this guy own the team? He does, actually. Yeah, he's part owner.
I love it. I think a monumental game and just a moment, I think, just for Major League Soccer, for even Sporting Kansas City. You know, like you said, like some people were upset that the game was moved from Children's Mercy Park. But then also the ticket prices as well. Some people were frustrated with that.
Well, so yes, but think about how much they would have cost at Children's Mercy Park.
Exactly. It would have been
insane. So exactly now right. You now make the game more inclusive.
Totally.
And more available for people that might not have been able to afford
and
it.
And the resellers don't make as much money.
Exactly. So yeah, everybody pour one out
there's
for the
a
resellers.
Lot to unpack here. I'm just glad Messi put on a performance that, because sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. When it's not just him, but it's any star player. Gets
like
that
the Saudi
much
Arabian
hype.
Tour?
Yeah, that didn't work out. Yeah. That wasn't
they
a
did
good
just
one.
Whip a player, so maybe it's good he wasn't there.
I want to move on to U.S. men's national team and just you know, kind of what to look forward to in
Copa America.
Copa America.
Oh, 26.
Yeah, 26, Copa America. There's a lot, you know, the you know, we won, what did we win? The other trophy.
Nations League.
Some respect
you know
it.
What we did? We went out there and had some fun.
We had some fun. Because Mahomes talked to us before the game. And that's why
we
won.
I think so. It was just a large pair of glass sunglasses. I couldn't see.
I want to start with the fact that Gio Reyna started for Nottingham Forest the other day. He got an assist from a corner. Morgan Gibbs-White got at the end of on the end of that cross. Gio Reyna has come up a lot for some positive reasons, a lot for the negative ones.
What are you wondering? Did he do enough? Did he do enough to get another
I think
start?
He did.
Yeah?
They play Everton next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask a very similar question. Yes. Did he do enough?
Well, it's more about he got 71 minutes before getting taken off.
First of all, he had what he had. He didn't have 71.
I know. In like the last 2 years combined. What I appreciated is that he's being trusted. So it's more kind of in the intangibles department where, okay, you have a Morgan Gibbs-White who runs point for Forest. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, cool. And then obviously he gets an assist to Morgan Gibbs-White. And now Morgan Gibbs-White's like, hey, I like this guy.
Yeah.
Right? So you start to get these little bits of trust and respect. And they're putting him on set pieces. That's a big deal. And
is
that
part of the game, though, feeding the big dog on the team if you're new?
No, I don't think necessarily. But I think it does help that you're looking for that player. Like when you see Busquets and Messi play, they're looking for each other first. But they're so good, they can hold that little delay.
Busquets is like, I don't know who that guy is. Can he get out of the way?
I'm going to tell him to stop bothering me, Messi.
Yo, hey, my guy, I know you're on my team, but could you kind of just like,
Hey, Chief.
All right, come on. Julian, what's his name? Julian, remind me.
Julian Yedlin?
There's a lot of people coming in. Out of here.
I don't know. Or maybe he's like super European and just calls every American Smith. Hey, Smith.
just get it to the next guy. Don't lose it.
What's his name? Brad?
But there is moments like that where you have players that are clearly looking for each other and there's some dialogue and communication that's happening. Like, hey, if I get into this space or if you've beaten your player, look for me in this pocket of space. So, yeah, I think all that's really important. So to give him 71 minutes and then not allow him to build – on that, when you're thinking about team building and working with individual players, I thought he did enough to warrant another start. I believe you give him maybe 3-4 games in a row, and you see what that looks like. Now, obviously, Forrest is one point above the relegation, so I get it. But for him to get that trust this deep into the season with so much at stake, I think is a good sign. And I think he can bring something to that Everton game, especially if he continues to demonstrate that he is a guy that should be on set pieces because...
Ooh, that was essential.
It's huge. Yeah. Especially in these games where everything gets a little bit tighter.
It also adds a little bit of value.
It does.
It's just a little extra bit of value. There was one moment, I don't know if you guys saw this, where Gio Reyna shot the ball and it went just wide. He found a little bit of space. He looked up. There was no one really to pass to. Takes a shot on goal, which I think was the right instinct at that moment. But it goes just a little bit of wide. And they pan over to Nuno Espirito Santo, who just kind of puts his head in his hands. And I'm like, is that you didn't score? Or is that because the American tried something? You know what I mean? But that's where we're all at. Yeah. It's like we're a little bit tight. You know what I mean? Like, don't
do anything. Well, him in particular.
Yeah,
we all want him to do well. I mean, what is the, obviously he's on loan. He's going back to Dortmund. What is the future? Do these next, 7-8 games, will they determine the next few years for Gio?
It's possible. It's one of those things when he made the move from Dortmund, it would have been cool to see him with a team that's kind of on the up and up or needing someone, I think of Bologna and Serie A who are playing ridiculous right now for Thiago Motta. Yeah. And or I thought Las Palmas was in a good space for a while. They've dropped off a little bit. Like a mid-table team in one of the other leagues where he could go and benefit from not having to be everything, or maybe benefit from being the guy, going somewhere where they will trust him to pull the strings. So going to Forest, where you knew you're going to have to scrap and fight, this Everton game in particular, if Nuno says, I don't know about the physicality of this one, this is not a game for you, I could see him making that type of decision, and I hope not. I hope that Gio could go out there and be like, doesn't matter, I'll bounce off of these guys. They kicked me a few times. Who gives a shit? I don't know, right? Because if I was playing against him, I just kick him a few times. That's what we used to do against Landon Donovan. Like, you want to slow him down.
Guys, what's the game plan? Kick him.
Honestly, you get him disinterested.
On three.
you laugh. There's no jokes there. Like, look, these guys are so good. You have to try to gain your little advantages while you can. And if it means we got to foul him a couple times to help set the tone, it makes the game easier for you and the rest of your team so you can get a win. Dude, you do those little things for sure. And so if you identify a player that might have a drop-off in play and an intensity and focus because you kick them a few times. That happens everywhere in every league. Yeah. And every team has a few of those guys where it could impact the game.
I'm not going to say who, but I was. We've had multiple former U.S. Men's National Team players on Morning Footy, so you'll never be able to figure out who this is. But one of them in particular, off-camera, said none of these guys on this Nations League team would have made it into my 11, which I think is a little crazy, but I do want to hear just
now. I'm trying to go through the Rolodex.
I'll tell you who it is after, and it won't surprise you. but I'm trying to think of a player like Gio Reyna. If he was on the men's national team and you were still on your team, I should say.
Well, I played with his dad, so.
He's not. I don't think that close to his dad, right? Like similar character wise.
Oh, in terms
his dad
of
was a bit more
playing
like,
style.
Yeah, a bit more. Yeah, or his dad was just seemed like a bit more quiet and like non reactive to certain things. Maybe I'm just getting that from a fan part. He's like, well, I don't agree.
No, but, I mean, yeah, he's awesome. He can play the ball on his. He played a little bit deeper.
Yeah,
but.
What would you think of his move to Nottingham Forest and where he is in his development? Because I think we all see the potential. Mm-hmm. But where does someone who played for the men's national team, do you see a player like him being like, to us, he feels so essential for any success we have. Do you view it the same way? Maybe not specific to Gio Reyna then, but do you view it the same way where like one player makes such a big difference?
Maybe not as much anymore because we have so many players playing at bigger clubs and we have – so many players that are ready to break through the ranks and prove themselves. And so Gio Reyna's special. There's no question. He's got more talent in his pinky than I have in my whole body. And that was when I was at my peak. You know, the guy's unreal.
He is incredible.
And the game is very, I'd say, easy for him. But he can see things that some of the other players can't. And he slows the game down in a way that allows things to develop. So there's that little half second where he can hold the ball just a little bit longer, which then... And Messi does it, but Messi does it probably a little bit more consistently, obviously. But
probably the greatest we've ever seen it done.
Yeah, yeah. But Gio has a little bit of that holding to let things develop and can see it. And just, hey, if I shift the ball even like half a yard, that will move a defender where I want that player to go, and then I can play. I think it's instinctual for him. I just think he's been around the game for so long. He's got parents that live and breathe it as well when they were growing up, and he's just been a student of the game. He can just understand it at a different level. Now, when I see him go to Forest, I understand there's some desperation in getting out of Borussia Dortmund. So, okay, whatever. Let's just go to the Premier League. Probably not the best setup for him because of where they were in the table. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of talent on that team as well, but they're in survival mode. I would like to see him go from a survival situation to a situation where he could thrive.
Right.
And that's what I was talking about a little bit before.
Maybe not fighting for the title, but also no fear of relegation.
Yeah, that would have been a better fit. So I don't know. This Forest thing comes and goes. We'll see how he does. If he doesn't play the next 5 or 6 games or doesn't have any impact at all, it's going to be harder for Dortmund to move him, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then I wonder where he goes. But if he actually plays and Forest stays up, maybe Forest wants to keep him because maybe he had become that type of impact player. Now they can see him in the summer going, I now can see where Gio Reyna fits into the puzzle.
Right.
Right now, I feel like it was Nuno doing a favor to because they share the same agent.
Right.
So if you can get out of that kind of narrative or mentality around the situation, then I think there's positive things ahead. He's incredible, but
it's wild how he's like, you know, the player of the tournament at Nations League, and then, you know, we were at the Azteca during the World Cup qualifier where he ran through the entire Mexican defense. And so you see the ability and the talent. And then maybe it's because, you know, a lot of stuff is kept in-house, especially at Dortmund. I can't understand what the issue is at Dortmund, that the coach doesn't want to play him.
Sebastian Kiel, the sporting director for Dortmund, had a quote maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and Gio was still there. And he, if you read between the lines, reading the tea leaves, it just felt like I'll paraphrase, essentially mentioned, we need players that are going to train hard every day. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but there was something in that. It was the first time that Sebastian Kiel had kind of mentioned Gio in that capacity that we were all like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's if you're in the kind of coaching speak cliche,
right.
That is hinting at something because they can't even move him. So you have to wonder what kind of reputation is swirling around him at the moment.
Right.
Because everybody can see that he's talented. But can he consistently bring that? And not just game day, but also at practice. And also, what kind of teammate is he?
Right.
Is he quiet? That's fine if he's quiet, but is he still being a positive contributor to the environment and the culture of the team?
Right.
These are all speculations. I have no idea. But I just – that was – Sebastian Kiel, for the first time, finally showed a little something where you kind of like, okay.
This is what happened.
A little bit of something like there could be a dot here.
And then that's like if you're like, yo, my new girl, my mom didn't hate – my new girl, and you're like,
okay. So yeah, I don't know. These are us trying to read between the lines because we're just as
on the pitch. Look, I think it is absolutely obvious the guy's a talent. And but then I thought the other point about Matt Turner when he did that interview when he was talking about when Gio Reyna arrived, and he said, "Oh, did Gio Reyna like
hit
you up and talk about like coming to the Forest?" He's like, "No, you know, Gio didn't." Text me, didn't say. I was like, oh, you have
that is interesting, right?
You have the USMNT goalkeeper on the team that you're going to. You wouldn't even like hit him up about it. Just be like, yo, what's the good food around there?
I mean, that would have been my first call. Hey, I have a chance to go to Forest. Matt, tell me, do you think I'd fit in there?
What's like, training
you,
like?
You know my skill set. You know my profile.
Should I bring my lawn chair to training?
So there's something. Yeah. And you just wonder what that is.
To your point, though, about that instinct, when we hosted the Premier League Fan Fest last year in Orlando, Ian Wright was talking about something about a striker was doing. And he said he was talking to Alan Shearer. And I'm like, getting to listen to this is like two Michelin star chefs talking about, oh yeah, well, I go around the bone in the chicken. You know what I mean? You're just like, what? Oh my God. And the two
caviar
of them were talking.
Caviar on a Big Mac.
And they're like, have you a fucking time? And they were saying something, and I had to, I'm like, could you elaborate on what you, because they were done with the conversation. I didn't want to interrupt. But I was like, hey, you said something before to Ian Rapp. I'm like, can you elaborate on what it was? It was something about running off the shoulder of a center back. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah. He's like, most fans think when the player who has the ball looks up, you start your run. But the center back is aware that that might happen. So what you have to do is get close enough to him so that the moment he turns to look at where the ball is, that's where you're in their blind spot. And if you start the run there, there's no center back that can keep up with you. And I was just like,
yeah,
I would have never thought about the 8 seconds before that, because you think it's like, okay, ball, now run. And he's like, no. I think the ball's going to go to him in two passes, so I'm starting to get closer to the center back so that he thinks, oh, I got him. And then when I go to look at the pass, I'm now in his blind spot, and he runs. I'm like, this is just a way of thinking about the game. I'm like, bro, who taught you that? And he goes, nobody. That's what I do. I'm Ian Wright. I'm like, that's a great point. Yeah, you are Ian Wright.
I love Wrighty. Wrighty's the best. I would say that I had the chance to go up against some good strikers during my playing career. Thank you. And Miroslav Klose was one of them, who scored, I don't know how many World
Massive.
Cup goals.
Yeah.
He's a good athlete, but he's not going to blow you away with his athleticism. But his ability to create space in the box and pull off your shoulder, you just don't know, like, how, where, how? When did that actually happen? Right, but that instinct, that understanding, the timing of that, that's some of the subtlety and nuance that I don't know if all of our kids are being taught here in this game in our country, where if they do it, is it being reinforced? Like, keep doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yes, there's obviously some great coaches at all levels in this country.
Of course.
But it's that's where I think we're still a little bit behind.
Those little margins.
Those little margins and that reinforcement of, mm-hmm. So a kid goes, okay, cool. Now I know I'm going to keep looking for that. Mm-hmm. I can sense that when I coach the younger players, they need a little bit of that reinforcement to kind of like, hey, you're thinking the right things and you're making the right decisions. Keep going. You're going to make mistakes, no question. But keep thinking about the game in this way. Still keep being a student. Keep trying to identify space.
Right.
There's this crazy stat where I saw in a 90-minute game, a professional player will only touch the ball for 2 minutes. So you got 88 minutes.
What are you doing in those 88 minutes?
What are you doing in those 88 minutes? And I don't know if our kids are being taught here in this country enough about those 88 minutes. Spatial awareness, situational awareness. And that's what frustrates me. I drop my kiddo off at the field. They've got four teams on one field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. They're getting their touches in. Super important. They're doing rondos and all that type of stuff. But they can never break out into something bigger to understand the timing of when to move, to talk about what Wrighty's talking about. When are you going to teach that in a rondo? Pulling off some guy's shoulder to get a ball up over the top, and you know how to, like,
you saw some dude doing that in a rondo, you'd be like, you're not even paying attention.
Yeah. Doing the rondo long. Come on, man. Get it. You know, what the hell is this going on here? Yeah. And there's a place for all that, but I think we really handcuff a lot of our younger players because we're not giving them the space to actually learn how to play the game.
Right. I think with this conversation, the reason I know that phrase or that thing about the 2 minutes to 3 minutes, I've heard it both numbers, is because the conversation around Kai Havertz, how effective is he? And it's a players, you know, fans will be like, he missed that shot or he wasn't there for that header. It's like, well, you're not watching him. And sometimes because he's not on camera because you're not at the game, but you're not watching him when he's off the ball. It's one of the greatest off the ball players I've seen in an Arsenal
shirt. Coaches love him.
This guy, I'm like, I love when fans are like, he's not playing well, but a coach and Arteta will say this a lot. He did all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, how could you say that? He didn't
score.
Well,
he's being judged on the 2 minutes.
Right.
Whereas,
by the fans.
Right.
So coach is like, this guy's crushing it for 87, 88.
Yeah, they're 87, 88, the off the ball.
Yeah, he
stuff,
made room for that goal.
The spatial awareness, situational awareness is off the charts. But yeah, he's not always as impactful in the 2 minutes. But that's where we judge all the players.
Right.
What are they doing in those 2 minutes? It's not really the 88. And not to say we need to change our analysis. Kai Havertz needs to play better. You know what I mean? No. God damn it.
I think you're doing just fine.
I think it's
unfair. He plays the right position, right? Why is Arteta not putting him on top? Why is he
not doing the right thing? What are you doing, Arteta, for Indiana?
Look, I would even some of the people tuning in, they're in relationships and are judged on those 2 minutes. And
you know what? How are you lasting so long? Two minutes. Jesus.
Okay. Who has time for 2 minutes?
We got porn stars watching our show.
How am I supposed to be productive in my work life if I have to commit more than 2 minutes?
It's okay. Jimmy Conrad, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much for having me.
On another Cooligans episode. This is your first time in our studio. This is we're all grown up, Jimmy.
I know, we're all grown up.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. A
you have
sad.
Two children at home and two kids right here in the Cooligan studio.
It's a lot of diapers to change.
Okay. We're all
still.
We're all from the same podcasting tree. Okay. Yeah. We can't believe we can't.
But we also say this
sponsored
every time.
Sponsored by Pampers.
Every time you're on, we say this. Thank you for all of your help and support early on.
I don't have enough money to pay you guys to say nice things.
Honestly, this man's encouragement early on meant the world to us. Did we get a lot of it from kissing up? Yes, absolutely. But it was on purpose. You know, when we look at the sea of content and how, you know, we're like, oh, that, we want to do something similar to what they're doing here, and we want to do that, and we want to change the game.
Oh, you're
here.
Stealing all my stuff?
Is no, we were a big you were a big part of it. And I was like, look, this guy's trying to be funny. But yeah. We can actually go out there and actually do it.
Imagine that, but funny.
Yeah.
I love that.
That was our elevator pitch.
What Jimmy's doing, but actually funny.
Right. They're letting him do it. I mean,
exactly right. I think that was actually my advice. If I can do it, you guys can definitely do it.
Make sure, I think that was actually. Yeah.
Make sure you follow Jimmy Conrad on all socials at Jimmy Conrad.
Not worth your time.
On Twitter and IG. Absolutely crushing it. Legend of the game.
Watch him crush me in betting every single week.
Well, it's because he picks 10 teams.
Yeah.
And
I'm trying
two.
So hard. I'm in last place.
You also, you're on Morning Footy every week, right?
Every week. Friday. I come on every week. Got the podcast, Call It What You Want.
Yep. Call it what you want, baby.
You can.
It should have been the name.
You can call whatever you want. Honestly, whatever you want. Just
you know
that's
call
me.
These last 2 minutes.
Jesse Marsh.
We're wasting
Charlie
time.
Davies. Yeah. They probably already clicked off at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Charlie like and subscribe. Davies, yes. Jesse Marsh. Still, every time I hear him, I'm like, doesn't this man want a future?
Maybe Jesse Marsh could come in here, come through one day. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials as well. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network as well. Also, shout out to Saturday's Football because we did the
great event,
the comedy show last week with Andrew Mensah, a couple people. Fans and friends, they all came through.
I like
through.
Your modeling shots. Those are nice photos.
Thank you, sir. But we had an absolutely great time. So shout out to Saturday's Football. Maybe we'll do another one because it was really, really dope. It was all footy fans in the crowd watching stand-up.
We got to do footy jokes you normally don't get to do. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great. So make sure you give Saturday's Football a shout as well. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you on Thursday with another spectacular episode. We have a great guest on Thursday. Ali Curtis is coming back.
How crazy is that?
MLS Next Pro vice president.
He didn't want to be here the first time, and he's coming back.
Can you ask him if Kai Kamara is going to play for any team? Because I think he's got now a new 29 to try to play for.
So Ali Curtis will be back to talk some MLS Next Pro stuff. Maybe we might ask him, you know, how these MLS Next Pro clubs doing in Open Cup, because Sebastian Salazar has had a strong take on that. He wasn't ready. we'll get to it.
We'll probably have to be really nice to him. So stop sending us those questions.
All right, so we'll be back on Thursday, everybody. Shout out to Jimmy Conrad. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
See you on Thursday, everybody.
Later.
Peace. Love you guys.
Take control of your growing company's finances with Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card. With credit lines from $50,000 to $5 million, Bill Spend and Expense is here to help you thrive. Say goodbye to manual expense reports and juggling multiple cards, and say hello to saving time and eliminating wasteful spend. Try Bill Spend and Expense today at bill.com/promo500 and get $500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank. Member FDIC.